My experience of divine mercy has been a journey. And I would probably believe it's been a journey for a lot of you. It was a journey for Thomas. I'd say one place along that journey was just before Christmas that I could remember, when I was in high school. And I was working my way through high school. I was a janitor. And my brother Bob and I were coming home from work at night. And I was greasy and sweaty. It was a very cold and dark night in Illinois. And the house was very bright. And it was that time in my life that I was just figuring out that I didn't have a lot of the things in terms of this material world that a lot of the other kids in my class had. So we came home, and my mom made it real pretty for Christmas, but real pretty, especially for my older sister that was bringing the grandkids over later. They were somewhat delayed. So my mom, realizing that Bob and I were pretty hungry, took out a big bowl of noodles, and we just dove into it. So my mom, like she did every Christmas, was making these incredibly big baskets of baking for those that weren't as well off as me. And being the angry young man that I had, despite the kindness my mom had shown me, I dressed her down. I said, "Mom, why do you do that? Rich people, they should be doing that. You've never had a decent Christmas for your family." And my mom reacted in a most beautiful way. She just rubbed my greasy hair, and she said, "Oh, Tommy, when I was your age, this is all we had." And she continued with great joy. And though her wounds are a lot deeper than mine ever will be, she, through those wounds, brought mercy and happiness to those that needed them. Pope Francis tells us to be a witness to the mystery of divine mercy. On the eighth day, Jesus came once again and showed his wounds to Thomas, so that he could touch them to believe and become himself a witness to the resurrection. On this Sunday, which St. John Paul II dedicated to divine mercy, the Lord shows us his wounds. The wounds of Jesus are the wounds of mercy. Jesus invites us to behold these wounds, to touch them as Thomas did, to heal our disbelief. Above all, he invites us to enter the mystery of these wounds, which is the mystery of his merciful love. My dad taught me divine mercy by his witness. It wasn't by example. It wasn't by talking to me. It's what I saw. My dad had a lobe of his lung removed from lung cancer. So he asked the cancer surgeon, "How's this going to affect his breathing?" And the answer surprised us. Not at all. His lung was completely scar tissue from a wartime puncture wound. My dad was a World War II veteran. He could never talk about the war. He would just say that too many of his good friends had died. I knew about the shrapnel in his butt because he would set off the alarm every time he went through a metal detector at the airport. And they were used to it, and they laughed with him about it. But until he was on his deathbed, I didn't realize part of his back was missing. Until we went to bury him, where he went to get a footstone for his service, we didn't realize that he had four bronze stars. You need to have the discharge papers to get the footstones. He got those wounds from fighting pure evil. And it encourages me to persevere in my mercy. My boss at jail, Deacon Bill, has taught me the spirituality of mercy. Deacon Bill was a Vietnam helicopter pilot. We were talking about one of Mel Gibson's films, We Were Soldiers. He was in that air cavalry unit. He was one of the helicopter riders, and it's a very horrific battle. And he said it was all depicted as it truly was He said, we didn't have those particular guns and gun mounts yet, but we had them a couple years after that. I talked to him about a blowout that I'd lived through offshore when no one got hurt, and he told me about a platform fire when he was the first helicopter on site, and he called everything in for the Eastern Gulf to help out with rescues. So I brought up the Mel Gibson movie I was going to be showing to the guys in jail. And I think a lot of you have watched it, The Passion of Christ. And he said, oh no, I'm going to have to suffer through watching that again. That didn't seem consistent with Bill because I've read it the wrong way. He said, Tom, we did that to him. His wounds, we did to him. To see him suffer through that is just so hard for me. What faith Deacon Bill has. What an inspiration for me. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we were healed. Saint Bernard talks a lot about the cross. He says, through these sacred wounds, we can see the secret of Christ's heart, the great mystery of love, the sincerity of his mercy, which he visited from on high. What sin is so deadly that it cannot be pardoned by the death of Christ? St. Francis of Assisi, whose pictures and sculpture is all over this church, has a stained glass window that has to do with the stigmata receiving the wounds of Christ. It's in the back corner back there. And the other brother that's with him there is Brother Leo, who witnessed this and wrote everything down. And so even though he did get those wounds, and even though the tunic from having his side pierced filled his tunic with blood, St. Francis' behavior was one of sheer elation, of sheer joy. Well, I'm not a great one like St. Francis of Assisi, but I can tell you that divine mercy is pure joy. You can learn this, and you've experienced it, from a prayer answered. I'm going to bring you close to another Christmas, and this time my wife and I and four of our kids were going up to see the grandparents. We were all packed in. Well, in southern Missouri, the temperature fell 50 degrees in 50 miles, and what had been a cold rain turned into a blinding blizzard at night. And so the minivan with the kids packed into it was bucking back and forth, and we didn't know why, and we couldn't keep speed up, and we couldn't stay on the road because we would have gotten rear-ended, and we couldn't get off the road because there was no place to go. So Diane and I were praying the Hail Mary as hard as we could, chanting it loudly. We saw an exit. There was no sign for a gas station. There was no nothing. And if you've ever been to southern Missouri or Mississippi, if you get off the road and there's a sign for nothing, there isn't any signs. There's nothing there. But we took our chances, and we prayed hard. And we saw a light. We went to the light, and there was a garage there. And there was a mechanic outside the garage beckoning us in. He said, oh, we just had a couple of teachers coming up, and it seems that your minivan's doing the same thing. I think your fuel line is freezing. So we're just going to put it in here, and we're going to warm it up. We're going to put some fuel line treatment in it, and you're going to be okay. And attached to this garage was a diner, something you might see out of the 50s. And we had our four kids in the stools at that diner. And that was my Lord and my God moment. And I know for a lot of you young adults out here, there and grandparents for you, you realize how much those children and how much those grandchildren realize to you. Well, it did thaw. And the mechanic came over to the diner and said, it looks like you're ready to go. I think I hear the snowplow coming. And sure enough, I heard the scraping of a snowplow. And Diane and I pile into the minivan with the kids and follow that snowplow out of harm's way. St. Bernard talks to this. I don't think any of us quieter masters of mercy. But we will carry those prayer moments, those prayers answered, that sheer joy when we're at the end of time. And this is what St. Bernard says. Among us on earth, there is his memory, but in the kingdom of heaven, his very presence. The presence is the joy of those who have already attained to the beatitude. The memory is the comfort of us who are still wayfarers, journeying towards the fatherland.